This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Can we just indulge each other for a moment and give God a hand of praise? Amen. He has and is and continues to be amazingly good, watching and protecting us as we go about. And we dare not take for granted his goodness and his mercy toward us. I'm going to be talking about or preaching about salvation, future hope. But I would like to put a tag on this message: the best is yet to come. That's what I want to preach about. The best is yet to come. Now, if you make a statement like that, folks are going to wonder, how do you know that? What's your source? Who are you talking to give you that level of optimism? I don't see the best to come, not from where I sit or stand, so help me understand that. Now, to be fair, there are some who would lean in and say, tell me more. I need to hear some good news. I need to hear that where I am is not where I'm always going to be. So there is a group that's leaning in and saying, the best is yet to come. Please tell me more. And of course, to those of us who know Christ, to those of us who are born again, we really do know and believe that the best is yet to come. God be praised, if this is as good as it gets, we're all in a heap of trouble. But God be praised that the best is yet to come. Well, you say, preacher, help me with this, because I need to see this somewhere. Well, John's Gospel, chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Listen, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't know about you, but that represents the best is yet to come. Because it means that we get to be in the presence of a holy and righteous God. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, willing rather than to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's good news. That's something to look forward to. And you know, I must be honest, I've learned like you along this journey, given what we see, I have to learn to preach to myself. Because when you look at the landscape politically, socially, economically, physically, you begin to wonder. Your spirit gets heavy. You need to put on a garment of praise when you listen and look and watch. I'm like you. I see what's happening like you see what's happening. But then I've also discovered that's when God is his most faithful. When I find myself in sorrow's valley, he comes and picks me up and reminds me, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. Is it during those seasons that I have to turn to the Word of God and find solace, comfort in the Scriptures? That's when I have to remember, like you, that I'm a pilgrim passing through. This earth is not my home. James said, it's like a vapor, a mist. It's only here and no evidence that it ever existed. But I'm excited because Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." To those of us in Christ, the best is yet to come. And it all hinges on this thing called salvation. Deliverance, the act where a person is delivered from danger which threatens them. All of us were in danger before we met the Lord Jesus Christ. We needed to be redeemed. We needed Him to reach down and to retrieve, save us. It's like someone rescuing you from a burning building. It's like someone rescuing you from a sinking ship. We needed to be rescued, and God shows up through His Son Jesus Christ to offer salvation to you and to I. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, "Don't neglect so great a salvation." Salvation, beloved, is great. See, you acting like you don't believe me. See, remember in your mind where you were, what you were doing, where you were headed, but it was nothing but the grace of God that retrieved you. Your eyes were open. You came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by confessing Him. Salvation is great. It's great in its scope. It watches over you yesterday, today, and tomorrow, past, present, and future. Salvation is from God. When you think about the salvation and its power to transform and to change us, beloved, salvation is great. And when you think about it, it almost makes you break out into just praise and worship. If you're not careful, tears will begin to flow down your eyes when you think about the gift of salvation and what God did for us through His Son. Right of Hebrews said, don't neglect, don't lose sight of so great a salvation. When the Bible talks about salvation, it looks at it in three tenses: past, present, and future. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The moment we trust Christ as Savior, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. That's good news. That means, beloved, that you don't have to walk around carrying the guilt and shame of what you have done. Do you know some folks, beloved, who can't let go of some things that they have done? They just keep holding on to it, rehearsing in their minds what they have done. If they only knew that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that is good news. That means I don't have to stand before Him and explain and start scratching where I don't itch when I look at some of the wicked stuff I've done. It's been nailed to the cross, never to come back and bother you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more penalty of sin. When Jesus dropped His head in the locks of His shoulder and said, "It is finished," He took care of our sin debt. Paid in full. No longer dealing with the penalty of sin. But salvation does not stop by simply confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I believe this is where it gets real interesting, because then we've got to move to the point of being saved. We're talking about it being a process where I'm growing more like Christ each day. Sanctification and perseverance, that's what it now is talking about. Okay, let me give you some scripture. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for this message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that good news? It means that he is still shaping us, molding us, forming us, dealing with those areas of our lives that he brings to our attention that are foolish, improper, and evil, and then allowing us through the aid of the Holy Spirit to change our direction, repent, and begin to look more like him. I need the Holy Spirit to help me because I got some stuff like you that I'm still working on. Being saved. Confess Christ, yes. If I drop dead, I'm going to heaven, yes. But while I'm waiting for future, right now and present, he's working on me. Okay, a friend of mine, we back in the college days when we had time on our hand, he had an apartment. And I won't get into much more. All I'm saying is that we were college students and we did what college students and jocks do. But nonetheless, he had his place and he had this large sliding glass door, and he had hardly no furniture, cinder blocks and 2x4s or whatever for bookcases. I mean, real practical. But he had this plant. He had this plant, and it was pretty big, but the plant was in front of the window, but it was bent over. Funny, it looked like it was growing some, but you could tell it was underdeveloped and needed some help. Go back over there a couple months later, and I look at this plant, and I say, "Doc, what's up with the plant?" He said, "Man, my mother told me to put this broken piece of broom in the pot, and I connected the pot to the plant with some string, and the string has been, the plant has been growing straight ever since because the sunlight is helping it grow." Come here. You and I are like that plant, full of promise and potential, but we need help to grow straight. And the Holy Spirit provides the light so that we can grow upward and flourish and to be the kind of people of God that he desires us to be. Y'all didn't have that kind of plant, okay? That's all right. But all my point is that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to help us in the sanctification process so that we can look more like Christ. It does not stop with just confessing him. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to see the lostness of people like he does. That they begin, my heart aches when I see those around me who I know that are on their way to hell and I'm not doing anything about it. Lord, break my heart that I begin to have a heart of compassion to see that they were created in your image. They are your children. They belong unto you, and you want me to do something. Silence is agreement. In other words, if I don't say nothing, I don't mind you going to hell. But the devil is a liar. While I got breath, I'm going to give up the name of Jesus. However I can do it. Whether you hear me or not, too bad. You won't be able to say, "I didn't know, nobody heard you." Wait a minute. Wait, whoa, whoa. Back on June, that boy Nick stood up there and talked. "Depart from me, I never knew you." And those are some horrible words. And we got family members and friends that will not spend eternity with him. The last time we will see them is when we see them alive on this side. ain't mean to go here, but I'm going, I'm out here now. I want as many folks as I know and can to experience future hope. I want them to come because future hope is amazing, and we're going to get to it, but I need to have the confidence to say something. So here's something to do. It's called bless. B-L-E-S-S. Bless. Before we can tell them the good news, we got to tell them the bad news, but you're not there yet. You're not ready for that. Bless does something else. Bless says, begin with prayer. Lord, bring those persons across my path who are lost and don't know you, whose hearts may be soft to me developing a relationship with them. Jesus was all about relationship. Sometimes before you can tell folks about the bad news and the good news, you gotta have a relationship with them. Do you honestly think folks are gonna listen to your presentation of the gospel and they don't know you? Now, of course, relationships are not the only way. There are many ways that people come to Christ. But you and I both know that our coming to him largely had to do with a friend, a neighbor, family member, somebody who took time to share with us who Jesus was. So you may be a little nervous about, well, I don't know what to say, and I don't know my scripture, and I'm not equipped to do that. Leave it to the priest. No, you can do this. Begin with prayer. Lord, send me to someone who's open to this gospel. And then begin to pray with them. They don't know. So you have to take the lead and show them and pray with them. Is now a good time? Can I call you later? I just want to have a few words of prayer with you. You're valuable to me. You're important. So I just want to begin with prayer. Number two, listen. Listen. You know the challenge with church folk? We know too darn much. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we bright. 2 minutes in the conversation, I'm like, oh, Lord, I went to theology. I just want to talk to you. I don't need to know the whole Roman rules and the four spiritual laws already. I just want to talk to you. Learn to listen. Nobody's impressed with your aptitude, but you and maybe your wife and kids and a few other folk, and after a while, they get kind of sick of you too. Christ was never big into love. He's big into love more than being puffed up. Be careful. Don't bruise the fruit in your efforts to show folk how much you know. I'm saying, listen. Just listen. Find out what's happening in their circle. What's happening in their lives. Just listen. You don't have to offer a whole lot of leading them to Christ information. Right? They're not there yet. Begin with a meal. L, listen. Eat. I know I hit that one. Have a meal. Get a cup of coffee. Sit down. Isn't it amazing how Jesus knew how to... That fellowship around food was amazing. You see it all up and down Scripture. He reclining and they eating with the tax. Something about the intimacy of a meal. I'm taking time to spend with you. I'm going to pay for it. And I get to know you in a slightly different way than maybe an email or phone or something like that. Have a meal. Remember, these are folks I'm trying to help with the future hope, where I'm going. And I want to take, like you, as many with me as I can. Eat. So we begin with prayer. We listen. Have a meal. We eat. Then serve. Look for some way that you can serve them. Listen, folk got all kinds of stuff going on in their circle. folks waiting weeks and months to get unemployment, waiting in lines for food, got sick relatives, caretakers are being worn out because they're not getting relief. I mean, there's so many opportunities for us to be able to just serve. Break off a piece of money, put it in a card and send it. We did that with a friend recently. The young girl called up to our house and was crying. You hear me? Crying. Because of the gift we had deposited to her. Nobody needed to prompt you to tell you other than the Holy Spirit. But it's serving. How can I serve someone who doesn't know him that I'm trying to get to a future hope? And then lastly, your story. I'm trying to get you to the future hope, and I want you to go along with me, so I need to tell you my story. And sometimes you just may want to start with a question. What do you think it takes for a person to become a Christian? What do you think a person has to believe to follow Jesus? These are just some practical ways that we can use to try to get our way in to now talk about the good news. But before it's good news, it's bad news. And the bad news is you're a sinner, and then you can go on with your presentation. But I have to begin with a relationship. Jesus was very relational. And what better model to follow than his? Second Corinthians 2:15, it says, it says, the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. Being saved, and among those who are perishing. You see that where it talks about the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. I was amazed by that phrase, the fragrance of Christ. That's something. That means that the more we look like him through our thinking, through our actions, through our behaviors, through how we handle our money, our serving of him, ought to emit some kind of fragrance. Is that you smelling like that? Come on, is that you smelling like that? Yeah, I know what that is. That's that Jesus all on you. You acting kind and polite. I knew you when you was a real rascal. You wouldn't say good morning to anybody. But it must be that. It's that fragrance of Christ on you. And I'm not making light of it, but what I'm saying is there ought to be something different as we go through that being saved that the world begins to see. So, beloved, if you're not smelling more like him, you may be smelling like a whole lot of other things, but you want to begin to smell like him. No, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm all right, but that's important, that we allow him to keep shaping, molding, and forming us. Present tense, being saved. Third one is future tense. This has to do with glorification. That's the good news in the sense, that's the future hope. That's the final stop of the salvation process, glorification. It's just a big fancy word to mean it. We're going to drop this robe of flesh on that day. And you and I will now have a new glorified body, and we will no longer be in the presence of sin. See, now we are in the land of some more. some more pain, some more heartache, some more disappointment, some more doubt, some more fear, some more uncertainty, but we're headed to the land of no more. I'm about to make myself happy. The land of no more, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Sin will no longer hound me. I will no longer have to worry about sin crouching at my door. I can take off my spiritual armor and lay it down. No longer struggling with lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's all gone now. No longer dealing with the presence of sin. My God, that waking up in the morning with the right thought all of the time. No longer struggling to do right. He talks about in Romans 8:23 how we groan in this body. We suffer. We groan because of sin and because of doing things our way and disobedience. All create heaviness in us. Disobedience. But on that day, that will no longer be anything we have to worry about. We will enjoy his presence and his glory. Oh, that's, and I love the way John said, he had to use a contrast. No more tears, sorrow, or death. In Revelation 21, he says, I love this. He said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more sin. Listen, no more sickness. Hallelujah. No more cancer. No more copays. Amen. Copay people, we know what that's about. The copay people. No more of that will challenge us. That's amazing. And listen, they get funny. Like, well, what are we going to do all day? It doesn't matter, for real. As long as I'm with him, we can do, what you want to do today, Lord? I'm with your schedule. I'm here. So whatever you want to do, I'm with you. Does it really matter? And I'll leave that to the deep folks who really want to, but I just want to be in his presence and enjoy what he has for me. No more separation from him. Hanging out with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our future hope. Amen. That's our future hope. And the question is, what do I do while I'm waiting for the future hope? Well, there's a scripture I can't remember. I think it's in Luke. He says, occupy till I come. In other words, stay busy doing what he has assigned your hand and your heart to do. You just don't wait around, well, I'm waiting for my future hope, but I don't know if it's today, could be this week. No. You ain't got time for that. You've got some work yet to do. Work while it is day. So that you won't be found not doing what you're supposed to do. I love in Revelations, it talks about how that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So this is no time just to take it easy and just wait to die. I mean, I know we all graveyard travelers. I got that. But the idea is that while you're waiting, do something. Do something. Stay busy. So that when he wants to know, when you stand before him, what did you do with my son? Let me see, your son. no time to be scratching where you don't itch. I claimed your son. I loved your son. I followed your son. I knew that. I just wanted to see if you, yeah. I know who you are. You've got some stuff here that I can, you did this. And see, that's why we can't take light what we do for him. And sometimes we, Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, interesting passage. It gives you, it suggests that the Lord is recording in the book of remembrance those things that you do. Man, I was amazed by that because, you know, it just tells me that every time I whatever I do to his name, on his name, on behalf of his name, he is keeping account, a record. That's enough to make you now start shouting. Now, if you're not doing nothing, then that's going to be. But here's the thing. You have time. You have time to change that and begin to get busy doing the Lord's bidding and doing whatever he has assigned your hand and heart to do. He says in Mark chapter 9, verse 41, truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Isn't that something? He said, you're not going to lose. Anything that you do for someone on my behalf, I'm going to remember that. Man. So in the meantime, while you're waiting for the future hope, do something with the time that he has given you. I have less time now than I've ever had. I'm not going to see 64 again or 64 more years. Maybe 70. Maybe. So, beloved, there's a sense of urgency that I now have that I didn't have before. Because one day this voice will be hushed in death. But I'm gonna be with him. No matter, I mean. So it puts a certain urgency on doing what I can for him. Because, as James said, life is a vapor. I had to preach a funeral yesterday for a young man I grew up with, and 67 years old, and tragic, but, and I came out of James saying that, you know, life is uncertain. And see, when I do a funeral, I'm always preaching to those who are lost, or those who are there who may be lost. Wherever that person, their eternal destiny has already been decided, so I can't preach that person into heaven. You either knew him or you didn't. But while your heart is beating and while you still have presence of mind, I'm coming after you with the word of God. And I do what I've been called and charged to do, dispatch my responsibility, go home and get something to eat. There's an old song that says, "Some glad morning." Y'all know it. Don't act like that. When this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. The best is yet to come. And you ought to start living like the best is. You listen, you know how the story's going to end, so you can shout now. Y'all gonna get this. I'm serious. You can shout now because you know how it ends. That you, Victor, you're gonna be with him. Hallelujah. And Lord, we bless your name, and we're so thankful that the best is yet to come in Christ. And Lord, we pray for that person here today who does not know you and the pardon of their sin. We pray, Lord, that they would come to recognize you as Lord and Savior of their lives. Rebuke the hand of the enemy that's trying to keep them from coming forward. Help them realize, oh God, that you have a purpose and a plan for their lives. So, Lord, I pray that you would trouble their hearts until they rest in thee. Convict, Lord, as only you can. We love you and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his finished work on Calvary. We ask it all in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And what a great thing to know that we have a future hope, that in Jesus Christ we can look back. Our salvation is secure. It's secure today. It will be secure tomorrow, all the way home. We're going to end in a song, but before we do, 3 months ago, I stood up and we said goodbye to someone who's been here with us for a year, who was over here working in the United States and was ready to go home in March. Debrella, she had a flight ready to go home when COVID hit, and she's been stranded here quite literally ever since, not able to get home. Well, this Wednesday, they told her, your flight is up. Time to go home. She's been excited about that. We're going to miss her. So this is our second last opportunity to say goodbye. I'm reminded of some verses from Acts chapter 20 when Paul is saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus. And he said, and this is what it says. He says, when he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Well, we're taking Debrella to her ship on Wednesday. It's going to be an airship, flying her home. And I'm not sure it's our last time to ever see her. We're hoping to see her come visit again, or we're going to go see her. So whether it's here, whether it's there, whether it's in the air, we know we get to see her one more time. I'm going to pray for her. I encourage you all to break the law and embrace her outside in the parking lot as much as you'd like to. Shake her hand, whatever you need to do. All right, let me pray for her. Father, I thank you for sharing with us this life, to bring our way to fellowship with, to enjoy company with around you. Father, we ask for a blessing on her safety as she goes home, and a blessing on her family and all that she does as she takes back a word of encouragement, a word of love and faith, and friendship from us here in America, here in Maryland, at this fellowship, to all whom she meets at home. We ask your blessing on her. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen.